And this is a continuation of the lesson we started last week on lesson number 3 on the Christian victory and spiritual growth. As we told you, as we try to cover, I don't know if I'll finish it again this morning, but we're looking at 4 areas that are necessary if you want to grow in the Lord, and that is devouring God's Word, protecting God's Word, separating from the world, and separating from false teachers. And last week we looked at devouring God's Word. We went to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll run there quickly this morning just to bring us back up to speed. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And we looked at the fact that you have to desire God's word. My Bible cover, made for me by a man in prison we ministered to for 20 years. He had earned the privilege in that prison to have a leather shop, which is unusual because they're not supposed to have sharp instruments. He was in a max security prison. And my wife and I would go and visit him. We had a chance to witness and lead some other people to the Lord there in the prison. But in Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." I told him that was my life verse, so what does he put on my Bible? He made the Bible case. Another inmate actually painted the lettering in. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." That's Psalm 119, verses 11 and 12. That Bible case has protected my Bible. That Bible case is 15 years old. It's had the zipper changed in it, okay? But if you're not taking in God's word, you will not have God's victory. You can't get away from it. Like I said, I mentioned last week a Chinese Christian. He was a preacher who was in prison for many years, got out, was able to come to America, and he asked him what was his key for his faithfulness and his victory over communist China, and he says, "No Bible, no breakfast." No Bible, no breakfast. This morning, as I'm getting ready for church, my wife is out in her sunroom. She's sitting in her chair. She has to let her stomach calm down with the stuff she's taking, and she's got her Bible open in her lap, and she's listening to it. And that's the way 2 hours start every morning with her. You say, "Well, yeah, well, she has the time." Yes, she does. She has to take the time, because if she starts moving around, she's going to throw up about $150 worth of natural stuff that she takes every day, okay, to fight the cancer. And so she gets God's word, the promises of God, and then she gets medicine from the world. A family that prays and reads the Bible will get through anything. If you don't read together, you won't necessarily stay together. You'll fight it in your own strength. There's something about it. It's the words of a king, and God will help you. So you need to take it in. That's devouring God's word. If you're not systematically trying to read through your Bible, you know what you won't do? You won't read through your Bible. If you do not plan to succeed, you're planning to fail. God is not the author of confusion. If you look at the universe, one of the testimonies of creation is the order of the universe. Evolution is an accidental happenstance. You cannot look at this world and truly believe in evolution, because it's not accidental. There's an order to it. Some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard is sitting in a tree stand. And you say, "What do you mean?" I listen to different birds. I listen to the mice. I listen to all the different things. I listen to the wind blowing through the trees. I listen to that fawn calling to its mother. I listen to the buck grunt. I listen to all these things in nature, and I see an order in it. And when you look at it, the Bible tells you there's different seasons. You think that's an accident? There's different seasons to your life. Okay, and it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Another place is you're growing in the Lord. It says, strong meat belongeth to them are of full age, having their senses exercised therein. Speaking of God's word. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a, I put away childish things. A child thinks, I want, I need. An adult thinks, what can I do for them? Every man, whether you know it or not, you are a servant leader in your home. You are to lead your wife and your children by being like Christ. He didn't lord it over them, demand that they obey him, and get angry when they didn't. He was a servant leader. Why do I know that? Because God's word tells me that. Because there's an order to how God wants us to live. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and it may be go well with thee, and thou livest long on the earth. There's an order to this. We're to take in God's word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, that means alive, like the quick of your finger. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book will tell you where your heart is. And the world will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from having the issues that the world has. So you got to devour the word. And again, it says desire it. And we looked at that last week. We spoke about that. This morning, I want you to look at Matthew 13:22. Matthew 13:22. Second point in this Christian growth, the victory you want to have, it's protecting God's word. Now, that doesn't mean you got to keep it, you got to protect it, you got to turn around and defend God's word all the time. You know, we're a King James Bible-believing Baptist church. You know what you don't do with a sword? You don't protect the sword. You wield the sword. If you believe that it's the inherent, perfect, pure word of God, use it. I can remember my father talking about World War II in the Marine Corps. My father was a sharpshooter. He was a radio operator, but he was an expert marksman. He had been a hunter before he ever went in the military. In the Marine Corps, he turned around and he says, you know what they made me do? They made me sleep with that rifle. They made me take that rifle completely apart down to the firing pin and put it back together. And he says, and then they made me learn how to disassemble it and assemble it in less than a minute. Because if it jams, my life depends upon it. And they made sure that I knew how every part worked, and that I knew how to aim it. I knew how to rest it in the right position so it didn't hurt me. And it saved my life. If you look at the whole armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6, when it tells you put on the armor of God, every one of them is defensive, protecting you, except one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the... When the tempter comes up against you, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in where? Take unto you therefore the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right? the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, where you can quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, Matthew 4, Luke 4, I think, when Satan came to him, he didn't entertain Satan's temptations. He quoted Scripture back to him. The Creator God of the universe, because that's who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and by Him all things consist. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form or void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, the Word of God brought everything into creation. He could have just commanded Satan to return to the pit. He was holy God and holy man. He didn't do that. He taught us how to have victory. When Satan attempted him, using Scripture by not giving the whole thing, taking it out of context, Jesus said, "It is written." It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word is pure. When people say, no, it's just the teachings of the Bible, or it's just the principles of the Bible. Nuts. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my W-O-R-D-S, my words shall not pass away. Okay? And I say this because you need to protect God's word in your heart. Okay? Matthew 13, 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Every time I read that passage, it makes me think of a compatriot of Paul who went part way with Paul, who was one of the disciples that followed Paul and ministered in the churches and in his evangelism. And then something came up, and he says, "And Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." See, Demas didn't protect God's word in his heart. That's for 2 Timothy 4:10. All right? Now here it says in verse 22, "And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Look at Mark 4:19. It's a parallel passage. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels. They're similar. They have the same stories. You get them from a different view. Matthew, you see Jesus as king. Mark, you see Jesus as the servant. Luke, you see Jesus as the Son of Man. John, the Son of God. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the stories are similar. They're not the same. Some of the stories are in John, but they're not in the same order the way you find them. John's separate from that. So the first three are called the Synoptic Gospels. But they're not exactly right, the same, similar. Okay, because if you take, now Holy Spirit uses, it says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the..." If I was to take you out and we had an accident happen out here and I had every one of you watching the accident and then took you to a room and interviewed you, what you saw, you know, you what you wouldn't get? Same exact answer. But if you listen to every person, you'll see some people didn't notice some things and they noticed others. So you get the full picture, right? You know what Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John want you to do? They want you to get the full picture of the Son of God. So It says that the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches in Matthew chapter 13. Look at Mark 4 and verse 19. Same story, same parable, the seed and the sower. And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, same, right? Then what does it say? The lust of other things choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. The lust of other things. Anything you put ahead of God is an idol. I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your home, your children, your job, your friends, whatever it may be, your favorite hobby. I love to hunt. I wait for the woods to dry up enough because I don't want to get buried in the mud, and then I go out and I start cleaning my woods and preparing it and moving tree stands and looking for to put it on and new pathways that started in January that I've marked out. And I have trail cameras all over the place and tree stands here and there. I may or may not kill a deer, but boy, I sure enjoy what I'm doing. And it's quiet. But you know one thing I don't do? When one of God's children calls me up and they have an issue and say, Pastor, I need help. You know what doesn't come ahead of them? That tree stand. Pastor Christian never played golf on Sundays. He loved golf. You know, he played in two different leagues as a man in his 50s, his 60s, his 70s, and his 80s. He played in two leagues. And he goes, Bryant, I've been a pastor in the area so long, I run out of people to witness to. I play golf. You know what I get to do? Make those guys hear the gospel because I get put in a foursome with them in the league. I get to witness to them through the whole thing. He says, I never play on Sunday. I said, well, you could play Sunday afternoon. He says, well, no, they don't always start early. You know, and sometimes you're tempted. Sometimes you just need to get away. You think, well, I'll just skip Sunday one time. Maybe I'll go play golf. And he goes, you know what would happen? God let me hit a hole in one if I did. And then who could I tell? Because he's supposed to beware. You know what the Bible says? It says, forsake not the assemblings of yourselves one with another, and the more so as you see the day approaching. I've watched families be ruined because they moved because they could make more money and didn't even bother to check for a good church. And said, we'll find one when we get there. And then the family hurts for it. I'm not putting them on a pedestal, but you know, Bo had to move for a while. They moved to the Utica Rome area. They had a church there now that it hurt when their pastor died. But the man who was their pastor there was a good friend of mine, and I trusted him with about anything, and he trusted me. And I knew when Bo and Becca went there, they were taking care of their family. Because he had a church to go to and not just a job to go to. And he knew it by the time they went there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say with that? People call me up, used to be in Emmanuel, and they go, we can't find one just like home. But you moved. You know what God doesn't give you? Ruby slippers. You get that reference, that analogy? Okay. Beth Smith moved to Georgia, health reasons, her cancer and other things. When she was here, she moved from Wolcott because she got tired of driving from Wolcott to Rochester General. 5 to 6 days a week as a triage emergency room nurse. I tried to send her to some other churches. She goes, no, there was no place like home. You know what she made in her mind? She made up her mind that she would be here every Sunday and every Wednesday. And I'd have people call me and we'd look at, well, are we going to close the church in the wintertime because the snow was too bad? And people who live within 3 miles of the church, I can't make it out, Pastor. It's too bad we can't come to church. And she'd be driving. She lived in Webster. because it made a 15-minute drive to work instead of an hour, and she'd drive 45 minutes to come back to church. You know what she didn't do? She didn't miss. She goes, if God wants me there, he'll get me there safely. And I'm not saying you got to be like her, but I want you to know something. God continued to bless her because she did what? She made a commitment to keep that order in her life. Well, I can't do that. People, you know, that person doesn't like me, or I'm upset at that, or the pastor said something that offended me. I have offended people through the years. I've had to learn to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, because I have been wrong. Pastor Kinney's learning the same thing. You know what? We aren't perfect. If you come to church for the pastor, you come for the wrong reason. Okay? You come for the word of God. Now, is it you getting taught the right things? You need a shepherd who's going to love you. But guess what? He's going to make mistakes just like you. You say, why are you saying this? Because the devil wants to pull you out of where you should be. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The thief has not come but forth to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. See, because it goes on and it says the lust of other things. Look at Luke 8. Parallel passage to Matthew 13 and Mark 4, Luke 8. See, they're synoptic. They have the same stories. They're just in different chapters. Mark doesn't go into the same detail in some of the things. He'll talk about one. Luke will talk about more than one in that event. Luke chapter 8. Ready? Verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with what? The pleasures of this life. See how something is added there? You know, everything is pleasurable is not wrong. But when the pleasures of life get in the way of what God would have you to do, it's wrong. Mike and Carla came over to the house the other night. We were playing a game together. I was looking at them and I told them, I said, Jeff Allen, you know the Christian comedian that I had played before this church on a special meeting time, and all the men were laughing and the women were laughing because it was an hour-long special we played, and it was during one of those Sundays where we had a cookout. We ate, came over here, saw that thing, laughed, had an early evening service, and then had a bonfire outside. Okay? It's called Happy Wife, Happy Life. He's a Christian comedian. And he laughs at relationships. For the first time that I can remember, he's going to be in Syracuse at the Funny Bone. He's going to be there May 13th. I'm checking, Jude, you want to go? Oh, I love him. Sometimes we'll laugh at each other. We look at, Dry Bar Comedy. Because, you know, laughter is like a medicine. When things are too hard, don't dwell on the hard things. Look at something to make you smile. Okay, it can break the tension. And I'm going, I'll get us tickets. And then she goes, what day of the week is that? I open up my calendar app on my phone, and it's Wednesday, May 13th. There's a little sign in my office Judy bought me early on when I went into the ministry. It says, I've got to go to church. I've got to go to church. I've got to go to church. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. I said, well, that's not an option. And he's not playing any place near. The next place he's playing in New Jersey. I like him. I'm not driving to New Jersey to watch him on a Thursday night. All right? But, you know, it wasn't a choice. Not for Judy and I. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves one with another. And the more so as you see the day approaching. It wasn't an option. Because Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? So I had to protect God's word in my heart. I was talking to somebody this week, and I said, I'm struggling with this. And I said, what does God's word say about that? And they go, what do you mean? If you're struggling with it, you either can dwell on the thing you're struggling or dwell on the way to get out of it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make it what? A way of escape. You may be able to bear it. Temptation is not sin. That's natural. It's normal for all people. Giving in to that temptation is when it leads to sin. Okay? So you have the deceitfulness of riches. I won't make you turn there. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not what some Bibles say, a root of all kinds of evil. It says it is the root of all evil. And the other Bibles changed it. They didn't change it according to the Greek text it came from, because they say the same thing. It's the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Deceitfulness of riches. You ever notice the Bible says riches are, they have wings? Just about the time you've collected some, they fly away. The Amish have been logging my property. I own 85 acres. Why? Because my wife knows I love to hunt, and she hasn't got to worry about where I am. She grew up in a home where her father, or the man who was the father in the home, wasn't her biological father, spent all the time in the bar, get drunk, come home, beat her mother. You look at my wife, you think this sweet little lady and stuff, you don't know what her background is, what she lived through, the abuse that she went through. I'd say, I want to get another piece of property. What do you think? Can we afford this? I've got this, 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 and we've got this set aside for the Lord. This goes first there. And she goes, buy it. She goes, at least I know where you are. What's the worst that's going to happen to you? You're going to fall out of a tree and I'll collect the insurance. See, we can laugh at each other. Okay, she'd tell me men don't have feelings, and if they did, who care? And she loves me dearly, but we laugh at each other. I say, you're mean, and she goes, yeah, and you're ugly. What difference does it make? Because that's not what she truly believes. But she knows that I enjoy doing that, so we make a way for that to happen. You say, why do you bring that up? Because I want you to understand. If it came down to now, having 85 acres or having the stuff I need to take care of my wife, that's gone. If it comes down to having that property or doing what God would have me to do, and we don't talk about it to everybody, but we've helped different people. We made sure this building could be built. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. You know what that does? It helps Judy and I have a common goal. We both want to please God. So when there's problems between her and me and we're both trying to please God, those things got to be set aside. There's no marriage going that has not had one spouse or the other have their feelings hurt by the other person. Well, if he loved me enough, well, if she respected me enough, well, dig a ditch. You dig deep enough, you'll hit water. First and great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. The second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the commandments. You protect God's word in your heart. What'll steal it from your heart is going to be deceitful riches. It's going to be the pleasures of this life. It's going to be the lust of other things. You know, lust of other things, I'm going to give you a big word. You can look it up afterwards. It's a Bible word. It's used a couple times. Concupiscence. You know what that is? That's inordinate affection on things that God would not have you love. Evil concupiscence. You read your Bible, you find that word. The lust of other things. You can spend time studying your Bible as a Christian. But if you put your favorite hobby ahead of God's word, it hinders your growth. It's the lust of other things. The care of this world. Someone told me this week they were too busy to read their Bible. I just don't haven't had time. We don't have time to make it to church. Saved person, part of this church. I don't have time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The care of this world. When Judy was diagnosed, when her mother was diagnosed with cancer and her mother died of cancer, you know what it didn't do? It didn't drive us away from church or away from the Word of God. It drove us to it. To it. So we might have a heart that God can touch and we can reach. You see what I'm saying? My most important relationship, the one who's going to love me no matter what, is who? Not my wife. She loves me. I love her more than you guys. I love you guys. Yeah, I can say that. I don't hate you. I love you. I love you more than pizza. I love you more than Judy's dog. I love my wife more. You know who I love more than my wife? We love him because he first loved us. Jesus said, and he's not a man that he can lie, because right now he is on the throne in heaven. You find him in Revelation chapter 1. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. In loving arms, I have drawn you. I've been reading some things about Muslims coming to Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I saw three different examples where it was a young Muslim woman, it was an older imam. That means their priest, you know what I'm saying? A Muslim priest. And then it was a Muslim who was in a royal family. Had something happen. They were dead medically. And Jesus Christ came to them. And they realized Allah was a lie and Jesus is the truth. And they're talking about how Jesus reached to them and told them, your heart was never towards Allah. And I knew when you cried out, you were crying out to who you thought you were, but the one who heard you was not Allah, it was me. And you need to know the truth. But it will cost you when you go back. You say, well, how do you know that's real? Because I prayed over a woman, and I've told you that example before, had the same thing. When Jesus sent her back, she was literally doing that rattled breath, waiting to die. And I prayed over her in an intensive care unit with her husband crying back home. And asked for 3 more years, because that's what he said, if I could just have 3 more years. And she came back and told me Jesus sent her back. And so when I see those stories about a Muslim having the same thing happen in their life, coinky dinky, a reality. Because God is not willing that any should perish, then all should come to repentance, and he'll give them a chance. They will have opportunity if they reject him. He says, you can reject me, this one woman. It cost her. She was the wife of an imam. She was hit in a car accident and came out of it. And she said, I must confess him because he loves me. She never felt love from Allah. She felt like if she didn't do the things, you know, it's like I was raised Roman Catholic. If you don't confess to a priest, if you don't light the candles, if you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this, you don't measure up, you don't get to go to heaven. You go to a place called purgatory that you don't find in the Bible, and they tell you that some other person's got to pray you out of there by paying money so they can light candles. Well, the same thing happens in Hinduism. It happens in Islam. You've got to measure up by yourself. And Jesus told this woman, you don't need to measure up. My salvation's a gift. Are you willing to receive it? You say, why did I say that? Because she came out of that. She's in America today. She's been on the news. I can't remember the name. She's been on the news because she's talking about the false fallacy of Islam and what it causes, the extreme things that take place. Islam, you talk about extreme. Do you know how many Christians were murdered by the Dark Ages with Catholicism? More people are killed in the name of religion. If you feel like you got to kill somebody because you don't like the way they're talking about your God, you've got the wrong God. The cares of the world, are you thinking you've got to measure up? I don't measure up. But I got a God who does. And he took my sin and gave me his righteousness. So I can be in the presence of his Father. That's the message of the gospel. Do I understand why didn't God show them in a vision certain things? I don't know. I don't believe you need visions to come to know God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... But God's not willing that any should perish, and he'll reach to them. And I don't poo-hoo the way they say he did, as long as they end up at the place of what he says. Did that make it clear for you? The lust of other things, the cares of this world. The only way you escape the cares of this world is when you put God first. Put God first. You say, oh, my marriage has got problems. I got this problem. My work's got problems. In your marriage, do what Christ tells you to do, men. Then your wife answers to God. Wives, do what Christ tells you to do. Your husband's answer to God. You obey him, he'll take care of it. Isn't that what he says? Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. See, because I'm not responsible to my wife for my marriage. I'm responsible to my Savior for my marriage. And He's the one who gave us marriage. Right? Man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Adam and Eve. He established it. Single most important relationship adults can have outside of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If my marriage is in God's hands, God's responsible for what happens. Not how that jerk treats you, women. Not how that wife doesn't respect you, men. What does God say? Do it God's way. If they're saved and you're saved, you know what? Whom the Lord loveth, He and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you receive not chastening, you're bastards and not sons. God's word, you're illegitimate. That tells me that every child of God's going to be what? Chastened. Because you use chastening to teach your child to do right, because without that, they will do wrong. We haven't changed. We haven't changed. My son works in a nursing home. You know what happens when you get real old? You start acting like a kid again. Get to a certain point, start acting like a kid again. Michael deals with that, and he's going, I've become responsible for these number of people. You'll take care of me, won't you? Yeah, I'll take care of you. He's a nurse who cares. The cares of this world. Well, I need a better home. You may need a better home. You don't need a better house. Because it'll burn. Amen? It's not the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. They promise happiness. But are they happy? Who's the richest man in the world? Elon Musk. If he's not number one, he's in the top three. You know how many children he has? I think it's around 19. With a bunch of different women that he's not with. You think that's happy? Solomon had how many wives? How many wives? How many concubines? Was he happy? He writes Ecclesiastes and he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You get down to the end of that book. This is not in my lesson this morning, but it follows through. I want you to understand something. You protect God's word in your heart. When things aren't going the way God's word says, change what you're doing. Don't expect the other one to change. You leave them up to God. He can beat them up for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon tried having multitudes of women. He wasn't happy. He had great riches. He wasn't happy. He gained more knowledge about more things than anybody, the wisest man who walked the face of the earth. He wasn't happy. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He comes down to the end of that whole thing of Ecclesiastes to try to teach you that when anything comes ahead of God, it's not going to be there. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what happened to Solomon? When he died, he went to Abraham's bosom. He didn't ascend. He had to wait for who? Jesus Christ. Because his righteousness and his riches and his wisdom and all his wives and all the stuff he had couldn't get him to heaven. He had to wait for the penalty of sin to be paid for. And when Jesus led captivity captive, Solomon got to see heaven. If I'm talking about something you don't understand, ask Pastor Kenny. We'll love to disciple you if you've never been discipled. Show you what God's Word's saying about different things. But it's the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the cares of the world. They'll keep you from having God's Word in your heart. So when I tell you to protect the Word, I don't tell you to take your sword and go, don't touch it. The oil will ruin the blade. You know that? Human oil has that, finger oil has acid in it. You put it on the barrel of your gun, if you don't wipe that off, it's going to rust there. You leave it on your knife, it's going to rust there. Because everything humans touch gets corrupted. It's not protecting the sword. It's protecting God's Word in your heart so that you can use it to answer the questions you're facing in life. I don't know what to do. What does God say about it? I don't know. Ask somebody to help you find it. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, long ye yourselves likewise also can be tempted. Look for it. Don't sit in it and go, I don't want anybody to know I have that problem, because then they'll think less of me. So I'll just struggle in my sin, and I'll struggle in my problem, and I'll struggle in my weakness, when the one who sees everything in your life already knows that you're struggling in your sin, you're struggling in your problem, you're struggling in your weakness, and he says, come to me. And he has the answer. And he uses other people who love him to help find the answer. Forsake not the assemblings of yourselves one with another, and the more so as you see the day approaching. Do you believe what's happening in this world? Do you know that the Bible promises there'll be a time of temporary peace where Israel believes they're safe, and it'll usher in the Antichrist? They haven't been safe yet. You know what America's working towards? Trying to help them be able to be safe and not worry that radical Islam is going to wipe them out with an atomic bomb. Things are getting lined up. Are you ready? Forsake not. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Protect God's word in your heart and use it to have victory over the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of this world. All God's children said, amen. We'll continue next week.